Good morning, Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Welcome to Claudio's Speakeasy, the literary and all else. And now, bringing back the art of the spoken word through narratives and poetry, the Richard Burton of the Triangle, the Richard Harris of Carrboro, the artist of whom reviewer Alan R. Hall has said, his writings and performances are a true tribute to the written and spoken word. Our own Renaissance man, storyteller, narrator, author, classical poet, actor, adventurer, photographer, visual artist, gourmet chef, show host, and he'll wash your cat.
What?
The bard of WCOM, host of Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. Here's Claudio.
Good morning, Gabriel and Chaplin. Wash your cat. Where'd that come from?
Well, that's the only thing I can think of that we hadn't put in there already, so...
Yeah, I can just see that cat walking all over me.
Yeah, we need somebody to wash our cats.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my co-host, John Paul McClellan, musician, composer, conductor, and what else? Revolutionary? Probably going in that direction with your show.
Soon to be terrorist.
Oh, God. Careful, I think we're being bugged.
We are. That's why they're calling me a terrorist.
And that's actually John Paul still trying to get me a job.
That's right. We're going to get him some work someday.
We got to find the right worm to put on this hook.
We got to get him off the dole, mainly, is all we, you know.
Anyway, we've got a fun show ahead today. We've got Peggy Taphorn back once again. She's been on the show a number of times, but it's been a while, and she's going to keep us up to date with what's going on at Temple Theater. Say hello,
yes,
Peggy.
Good morning. Hello, Peggy.
Yeah.
Great having
See,
you
she
on
She knows
again.
How to follow instructions.
I want to mention very quickly so that we can get this taken care of. I want to thank the Carolina Theatre of Durham. They've got the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival coming up. It gets launched on the 13th with a big comedy act. I don't have that information in front of me right now, but 13th of August launches the Gay and Lesbian Festival, and then it's on through the 16th, day and night. So go and check that out. Any of you folks out there still in the closet, you can come out now. We have pictures. We have movies. It's okay. The water's fine. Come on out. Come to the Carolina Theatre of Durham. Check out the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival.
And after you do that, go to the Temple Theater.
Exactly.
In Sanford, North Carolina.
Peggy was just going to say that.
That's all right. We can share.
That's it. Yes. So tell them
sharing
about what's going on in Things Temple, since we want to sort of click over that. But before we do, let me also mention Studio in the Woods is also a sponsor of the Speakeasy.
And yes, wanna thank John DeMers.
Indeed. And he's also working on some film productions. Next week, just a quick note, we're going to have John Paul Dame on, who is a producer, director of Firehorse Films. He's the fellow trying to get me onto that ABC TV talk show, and we'll talk about that when it comes more to fruition. But anyway, here's Peggy Taphorn.
Well, good morning. Thank you. It's great to be back. It's actually good news this year. Last year was a really tough time for all of us, as we know, and the temple was under threat of closure. And the great, great news is that the Temple Theater is alive and kicking in Sanford.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Good. And we have a full season planned. We are actually just kicked off our 2009-2010, can you believe it?
Wow.
Season with 101 Dalmatians. We have our second kids' camp. Their performances are this weekend. We have 38 area youth. And we're keeping them off the streets this summer and dressing them like dogs and cats and putting them on stage
well,
at the Temple.
That's what works.
But performances this weekend are Friday at 7, Saturday at 2 and 7, and Sunday at 2. And on Friday, we're actually doing a great benefit for CARA, which is the local animal adoption agency in Sanford, as well as the artist studio, which good friends of mine, Lisa Mathis and Yvonne Sovereign, have done several paintings of dogs along with other artists in the Sanford area. I don't know, you've been to Sanford several times, but there's a huge artist enclave in Sanford, which is one of the reasons I was drawn to it. And so we're all coming together to raise money for CARA, and that's going to be in conjunction with our opening of 101 Dalmatians. We're going to have the tramway fire chief, Scott Holtz, bringing his fire truck.
Fantastic.
We're going to have a Dalmatian. We're going to have dogs up for adoption. And then, of course, our 38 human dogs.
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
Little whippersnappers.
On stage. And
costume.
It really is for the entire family. We the last run of the camp completely sold out, which was wonderful, because we had not only the kids, parents and grandparents and church groups and all that good stuff, but just families with nothing to do on a summer weekend came
good
out. It's only $5 for kids and $10 for adults. The show's about an hour long, so it's short fun and a good time for the whole family.
You can watch the kids fight like cats and dogs.
Exactly.
Indeed.
Well, there is Cruella de Vil.
There's Cruella, yes.
Come by and stay out of the heat.
That's right. We do have air conditioning.
Yes, indeed.
Ah.
Which is one of the
selling
points.
See, I wasn't kidding.
That's right.
All the modern conveniences.
Right. Yes, so indeed. We are very grateful to be able to keep doing what we do down in Sanford.
And so the good news is that you're in the black now. You've brought the theater back into the black, and I know that was a bit of a struggle.
Yes, it was. Last year was, as I mentioned, difficult for all of us. You know, we're all living through the same economic times, and hopefully that will turn a corner very soon. But for theater in particular, I was getting about an email every day of theaters closing across the country,
Lord,
some hugely well-established theaters. So the fact that the community rallied, we raised over $150,000, and with generous donations, it was sort of like the Christmas movie, you know, that it wasn't one big donor came in and swooped in with $50,000. It was literally people dropping off $10 checks,
oh, that's really
$20
nice.
Bills,
wonderful.
You know, and people that would say, you can't take this away from our kids, and people who had moved.
Good for them.
To that area, you know, it's a big sort of retirement community because of the live theater there and the golf. We don't want to discount the golf, but
oh, the golf, yes.
They said without the Temple Theater, particularly in Lee County, being the only professional theater in Lee County, that the arts are completely dead.
It's terribly ironic that the soul of a community, the arts, is the first thing to suffer when there's an economic downturn. It actually should be the thing we protect the most.
Well, I believe Winston Churchill said it best during the war. You know, they were talking about during the blackouts and everything and having to close down theaters. And eventually he came up with a saying that I posted on my wall at the theater that said, then what is it that we are fighting for?
Indeed.
Yeah. So I kept that in my mind and in my heart. And luckily the community rallied and we're hoping now season tickets are on sale. The unfortunate news is that we're about $20,000 to $30,000 behind on season ticket sales this year. Mm. So people haven't quite, you know, found the comfort level to open their wallets, but I'm hoping that that will happen.
So anybody tuning in, go to Sanford. It's a beautiful theater for one thing. It's actually, you can almost imagine it as a downscaled version of the Carolina Theater of Durham, also a former vaudeville house, I believe.
Right,
seats
absolutely.
About 300 as opposed to 1,300 at the Carolina Theater, but it's very much a historic property.
Absolutely.
As well.
It was built in the 1920s. We have the original tin ceiling, but it's fully renovated. We have the original mosaic out in the lobby. It's just beautiful.
It is fabulous.
It's a gorgeous house.
And there's not a bad seat in the house. So
no.
You know, if you want the intimate, close-up, and personal view, which is what I love about theater, you have to interact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the audience is 50% of the equation, and if you get a clinker in the audience, then the show's not going to sail as it could. And if you have an audience that's really rooting for you, we were talking before we were on the air that one of the things that helped us was Dames at Sea, the season
which
closer
I really
last
regret
year.
Regret not seeing.
It was a blast. Was a big hit, and you could just feel the audience, you know, pulsing with all the tap dancing, and just that's what live theater's about, folks. You have to participate, and it's one of the few places left as we all get smaller and smaller and into our computers and into our heads and into our iPods, and that you actually have to participate. You know, you get out from live theater what you put in. So
absolutely.
We have some great shows coming up that are going to take a lot of audience participation, some thought-provoking, some escapism, and hopefully my view of live theater is you may not recognize a title, you may not like every show, but you'll certainly have something to talk about afterwards.
Absolutely.
So that's what we're trying to do.
Definitely gets the brain stimulated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As well as the senses. So give us a rundown of what's coming up.
Our first show, our first adult show, since we kick off the season with 101 Dalmatians, is a new musical that ran off-Broadway called Bingo.
Bingo.
The musical.
Heard of it, but know nothing about it.
Well, it's about bingo.
Aha.
Oh, wow. It's all about bingo.
It's not about bingo. Bingo, of course, is the device that is used. It's
about
friendship.
Oh, I thought
friendship.
It was a dog.
No.
Oh, okay.
But that is a good song.
It's bongo.
Yes. Oh. And Bingo was his
name. No, that's a monkey. No, it's a chimpanzee.
Exactly.
Well, let's go to the zoo and find out what it really is.
It's Ronald Reagan's co-star. Yes.
Yes.
But it's about women and friendship and, you know, there was a feud that happened many, many years ago in these ladies' lives. And the two main characters actually lost their friendship over this incident. And one of the women is dying and her daughter comes back to the bingo hall to meet these ladies, her ex-friends, and sort of confront them and bring them all back together again. But it's very funny and very audience participation. For example, we play three live bingo games through the course
of the
show.
With the audience.
Oh,
neat.
I know. As well as a lot of singing
that is
and dancing.
Wild. You got to love that.
And some laughs, and there's a little,
So you want to tell me that these bingo games are not predetermined?
Oh, no, they're not predetermined.
Wow.
So the show could be
actual bingo game.
Hours long.
So I guess everybody gets
a
bingo card when they come in.
Everybody gets
buy the
three
ticket.
Bingo cards.
Yesterday's show is not over yet. Today's show has been canceled.
Exactly. But I actually, I was never a big bingo player, which is odd, having grown up in the Catholic Church, but we didn't have the bingo then. But I recently visited some friends in Pittsburgh, and we played bar bingo, which I thought was going to be, you know, get a number, like buy a beer or something. Yeah. But it wasn't. It was just in the VFW hall. The bar section.
You could buy beer while you're playing bingo.
But I didn't realize how addictive bingo can be. I mean, you really want to win.
It's true.
And was
you get one, two numbers away, you're like, come on, and then somebody else shouts bingo, and it's like, wah, wah. You know.
Yeah, I've played a few times, but not many.
Well, it was popular enough to make a MASH episode. They did one entire episode about bingo.
It really is addictive. And so that one, I...
So what was the variant in the bingo you played in the bar?
Nothing.
As opposed to... Oh, it was the same thing.
It was the same thing. But you were in a bar.
So you can get drunk and enjoy
exactly.
it, too.
Hey?
Yeah, that's the idea.
No, it was kind of a misnomer, but our bingo is not in a bar. It's at the Temple Theater, and it runs from September 3rd through September 20th. That's our season opener, and I humbly say that I am going to be in that show.
Wonderful.
As well as directing and choreographing, so a good time will be had by all.
What's your part in the show?
I haven't decided yet, because I just took over the helm.
The privilege of directing.
Exactly.
She's not decided.
Mm-hmm. But I will have to decide soon. I think I'm going to end up playing Vern, who's kind of the crotchety one who caused the rift in the friendship to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing against type, of
That's
course.
Always fun.
Save your drama for your mama.
That's exactly. got to be a lot of fun doing
You can work
that.
All that out on stage and then live happily ever after.
That's right. There you go.
We're following that one up with an Irish comedy called Stones in His Pockets. We had a big hit last year with Moonlight Magnolias, which was basically the writing of Gone with the Wind, and we had three characters who played many different roles. In Stones in His Pockets, I have two actors, Michael Brockie and Derek Smith, who's a local actor, and as well.
So
and
Michael's
they play,
getting more. I'm sorry, Michael's getting more and more involved in on stage as opposed to just technical.
Right. Well, his talent is pretty immense, and so
he's very good. Yes.
And so this is about two guys. They play 15 different characters each. It's about a film company that comes into a small village in Ireland, and these guys. One of them's on the dole. And one of them's also a little hard, going through some hard times. And they decide they're going to be in this movie.
They're not looking bunch, and they're here with cameras.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But they play all the parts. They play, the female producer. They play the film crew. They play all the townspeople.
Whoa.
It's really funny.
That's great.
It's definitely adult humor. There are a few, can I say, shites?
You could.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
And such. But it's done in an Irish brogue, so it doesn't sound nearly
Perfect.
As bad as,
So I imagine it always softens it up a
exactly.
bit. Yeah.
I imagine there's some interesting character sketches then.
Exactly. And so that one's really funny and very witty. And so that's our October show. That runs October 15th through November 1st. Then I'm very excited. My friend Michael Hoagland, who not only is a very good friend, but also a wonderful composer, writer.
Wow.
Last year, due to the economy, unfortunately, I was unable to use live musicians for a couple shows.
Right.
And Hoagie, as I call him, came down from New York, took time off from his day job at the law firm, and did the virtual orchestra for Once on This Island, as well as Dames at Sea. He was also our musical director on stage for the Patsy Cline
show. Now, explain that, please, because some listeners may be confused by virtual orchestra.
Well, the virtual orchestra is done by computer, but the way that Hoagie does it, instead of using a giant keyboard that just simulates all the different instruments, he uses a giant keyboard, but he also plays myriad instruments live and then tracks them all through his computer, blends them all. We can then lower pitch, raise pitch, change
My
tempo,
goodness. Yeah.
beat by beat, basically.
Wow.
It takes about 500 hours.
Goodness. It's time-consuming to put it together, but it's incredibly flexible.
Incredibly flexible.
The resolution is a sample rate level.
And he found the time to do this?
So that's
we're good friends.
It's like, must be.
That's 41,000 samples per second.
Right.
So you get a huge, unbelievable resolution.
Exactly. And I love live musicians. Fortunately for Bingo this year, we're starting out with live musicians, and hopefully the economy will continue to go in our favor, and I can use live musicians the rest of the year. But for Christmas Carol, Michael Hoagland, Hoagie, has written the music, and another friend of mine, Jeff Stockberger, has adapted the book, and it's going to be a world premiere at the Temple. It's it's going to be a musical version.
Is it going to be virtual again? Or actual live?
We have to kind of wait to see how economy goes, because it's a big show for us.
Oh, that's very clever. Yeah.
And Hoagie's willing to do the virtual orchestra. I'm hoping I can use live musicians. But that's our Christmas show, and I'm hoping it becomes something that will be a perennial favorite there down in Sanford, like it is at, Theater in the Park.
And is it the same show? Is it Christmas Carol, or what is the
Christmas It's a Christmas
show?
Carol. It's not going to be the version that they do in Raleigh, where it's sort of timely and has political jokes and all that. We are doing the classic Christmas Carol.
It's more abstract in the Ira David Wood version.
Exactly. We are going back to the classic, but we're adding, there will be some traditional Christmas music, Christmas carols. You know, I know that the turkey boy who brings the big turkey to the Cratchits' home at the end actually sings a beautiful version of Silent Night. And but it's all the favorites. And then there are some original songs as well that Hoagie and Jeff have written. So I'm really excited about that one. That's our Christmas show. We open that one the day after Thanksgiving. So if you're tired of your family, kick them out of the house and everybody come and see the show at the temple.
Or bring them with you.
Or bring them with you. And that one runs through December 20th.
Kick them out of the house and go to the temple.
And then we're changing the timbre of the season a little bit. And we're very lucky to have Mike Wiley is doing Tim Tyson's Blood Done Sign My Name.
Oh, goodness.
I've been trying since I got to Sanford, everyone said, you know, Tim Tyson's father was a minister in Sanford at two different churches for many, many years. Yeah, for decades. And they kept saying, you know, you have to read this book, you have to read this book, you have to meet this man. So I did, and convinced him to come to the temple for only three evening performances and two student matinees, three evening performances for a week.
Please remind me of that.
Yes, and that's happening for Black History Month. We're doing it the last weekend in January, January 29th, and that will run Friday, Saturday, Sunday of that week, and it's through February 7th. So we also get to run the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first week of February. And then we're also doing a student matinee for that because I think it's important.
And give us an idea of what the theme is.
Yeah, yeah, how does that work? I mean, what do you do? What do they...
Since he's in the picture and all that, what is the theme of the show?
It's based on his novel, which was a live, true account of a veteran an African-American veteran who was killed in North Carolina. So it's North Carolina based, and Mike Wiley, who's the actor who actually is from Apex, performs a one-man show.
Okay, it's a one-man show.
Right, and so he uses projections and also plays many different characters.
So it's more like a dramatic reading and with the...
It's a full-fledged production, though. He plays many different characters.
Oh, okay.
Actually, if you go on, even if you just Google Blood Done Sign My Name or Mike Wiley, you can see clips of him in action, and it's just brilliant.
All right.
And the cool thing is that after every performance, Mike Wiley does a talk back with the audience.
Oh, good. Nice.
And speaking to his representation, they said sometimes that lasts longer than the show. they've had people who, after, you know, 2.5 hours of this talk back, have to say, okay, folks.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Everybody get out. Yeah. And Tim Tyson, I'm hoping, will also come down, and he often does the talkbacks as well. So it's about, you know, racial awareness. It's about a true incident. It's about how we all need to acknowledge things so that we can move on and get over things. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so it's timely not only for its connections to Sanford, but also in the world as we see it.
Did you hear that, Officer Crowley?
Oh, just want to let everybody know out there, we've got Peggy Taporn in the studio today. She is the director, actor, producer, whatever it takes, of Temple Theatre in Sanford. My co-host, John Paul McClellan. And this is Claudio, yours truly. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming at you from WCOM 103.5 FM. Back to you, Peggy.
All right, then. So that is our January-February offering. And then we have a great friend of mine, Jason Petty, who had a big hit at the Temple with Hank and My Honky Tonk Heroes, my first year at the helm at the Temple, is coming back. He's written a new show, and it's about Marty Robbins music.
All right.
I only knew Marty Robbins as sort of the cowboy balladeer.
Exactly. What a great voice.
What a great voice.
Great voice.
And,
yeah,
and Jason does him complete justice, as he did with Hank
Incredible.
Williams. He's got a 9-piece band coming this time, which is an even bigger band than we had last time.
And this
it's
going to
be a big, big hit. It's March 11th through March 28th.
My birthday, March 11th. I'll
there
be
you
there.
Go. You'll be there. Good. And it's called Marty's El Paso because Marty Robbins had a TV show in the 60s.
Yeah.
And it's basically that set, and he does not only Marty Robbins songs, but other songs of the era from different country and western singers. Mm-hmm. And Jason's just a great guy, and he got back in contact with me because he's only done this show. He did it in Nashville, he did it in L.A., and we are good friends. Last time he came to Sanford, his wife had just had a baby, and so, you know, we were talking about that, and it's been a couple years now, and I said, so, you know, how's the baby? How's Lorelai? And what's new? And he's like, well, there's another baby. Can you give me a job? I said, absolutely. So they'll be coming back to Sanford, and it is a treat for all of us.
A rather effective way of pleading. Here we go.
Exactly. Yeah. Mama needs some new shoes.
Nothing like being direct.
Exactly. And also, you know, he certainly delivers, and it was a big favorite of all, not only country music
Fantastic.
Fans, which I'm not particularly, But when he was doing his Hank Williams show, you know, I have to see all the shows most of the time.
I think Hank Williams has sort of more of a universal appeal anyway.
Right.
But even though it does fall into country.
Exactly. And it was just brilliant. And he said that this show, the production values as well as, you know, because all of the Marty Robbins songs, which I've since listened to, a couple of CDs.
I have a CD, by the way.
They all tell such great stories.
They do.
You know, and about love and loss and stuff that we can all relate to. And it, to me, it doesn't feel country.
It's more the ballad, really.
It really is.
The art of the ballad.
It's more poetry set to a beat, you know, which I really like. And
indeed.
So that one's going to be great. That's March 11th through the 28th. And then we end up this season with a Rodgers and Hammerstein classic musical.
Which is
we're
the
having
sound
a
contest.
I can't tell you. Mm. We're having a contest. If you can guess the name of our classic musical, you have to come to the temple and fill out a little form, which means we'll get you, we'll
I
suck
see.
You in to see another show.
Yeah, course,
you can enter to win 2 free tickets to the last show of the season, and I'm sure you'll have an enchanting evening.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a dead
I won't
away.
Say it.
Oh, my gosh.
La, 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 la,
you're going to have
la,
nothing but free tickets.
Exactly. Well, we're doing a lottery. And the way that this happened is that the tour of said musical is coming through Raleigh, but one of my dear friends, that's a good thing about aging, is that I have great friends.
That are good things,
in low places and high places. And a friend of mine, Brad Lorenz, God love him, is the head of the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization now.
Wow.
We worked together many moons ago in a small
And you call
theater
this in low places?
In Long Island. He was
Long
a company
Island
manager and I was an actress.
Yes,
exactly. And so I called and said, I really want to do this show. We need a big, you know, classic to wrap up the season. He's like, well, it's touring through Raleigh because it's still running in New York.
Hmm.
There's another hint. He said, but it'll be done in Raleigh at the end of November. So I'll give you the rights to do it. Our dates are April 29th through May 16th. He said, but you can't announce it in print until after December 1st. So now we're doing this little teaser. I think it's pretty easy to figure out, though.
Yes, after all that hinting.
Exactly.
It certainly is. And I've actually worked the show, so yeah.
There you go.
And
it really is one of my favorites. I love the message.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this year is we're calling this year a season to celebrate, not only the fact that our doors are still open, which is a huge reason
yes.
to celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
We just celebrated the 25th anniversary last year, and the fact that we're, you know, held on through the economy when theaters were closing left and right,
Bravo.
And businesses were closing left and right.
I know.
So we're calling this a season to celebrate, and I really wanted to end it with a big, splashy classic, but I wanted there also to be a message there, and
mm-hmm.
I think the fact that we are at war, the fact that there is still rampant prejudice in this country, and
Absolutely.
Those are the two basic themes that are overcome in this musical, which shall not be named,
mm-hmm.
Is important to me. So, you know, I didn't just want to do, you know, some fluff just to bring the people in. We're trying to make each show this year mean something.
Meaningful.
You know,
yes.
and people say, well, what about bingo? Well, for me, part of the reason that theater is meaningful is the audience participation part.
True.
Because we have become so closed off. You know, I know now I got a brand spanking new phone because my old phone died, that now I can get email sent directly to my phone. So you're never without your little electronic, you know, brain
right.
drain.
Yeah.
And
one of these days I'll get one.
Yeah, well, I...
I don't do email.
Let me know when yours wears out.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
no,
literally, we become so plugged in to our devices that we aren't plugged into each other.
Sadly.
And
very
that's one of the
so.
Things that bingo, like I said, we play 3 live games on stage. It's really about friendship and about lifelong bonds that, you know, we all have friends that you see once every couple of years
mm-hmm.
or that you haven't seen in 20 years. And then all of a sudden you reconnect and it's just like you never
And you wonder
left.
Why you let so much time
exactly.
slip away.
Exactly. So, you know, each of the shows that we're doing this year is about a reason to celebrate something, either friendship or, you know, racial equality or love or, you know, all that good stuff that makes us human.
Or just getting over it, whatever it is.
That's right.
And let's hit a little bit of a sour note on the Temple Theatre aspect and the fact that your Black Box Theatre is still not open. Give us a little bit of the history there on that.
Yes, well, unfortunately, we tried to open our second space last year. It's beautiful. It's ready to go. I just need about $50,000.
And you actually staged a few successful performances on it.
We did. And then, unfortunately, we ran afoul of the local fire marshal who has since retired. Hallelujah. I was going to sing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, but that's not nice.
Oh.
I'm not sure. I can't justify it in my own heart and soul being a personal vendetta, but I've heard rumors that they didn't want that kind of theater in Sanford. No, I hope that's not true.
We don't need no dadgum black box theater.
Right, because, you know,
wonder
that was going to be our exactly our second space to do a little more avant-garde plays and to have, you know, Claudio come and do his Seafarers and to have
poets, you know.
So we got closed down by the fire marshal, and what he's asked us to do, unfortunately, we had neither the time and certainly not the money to do. But I'm hoping now I can get a structural engineer to come down to Sanford and look over the space and say, this is ridiculous. They want us to put 8 steel beams in the ceiling because it's on the ground floor of a 2-floor building. And
why did they not demand this of the business that was there before you took that over?
Exactly. And why didn't they demand that the 3 months prior to the opening when we were meeting with the fire marshal and the city inspector?
It seems like a ploy of some sort.
It seemed like something to me too, but
that's really weird.
Yeah, we lived through it. My shoulders are getting tense just talking about it. And hopefully now we can come up with a plan B, because it really is something that we want to get back up and running. Naming rights are available. So if there's anyone out there who wants to be called, that means if you give us enough money, then we'll name the theater after you.
The Black Box Theater right after you.
And then, of course, there's also the matter of seating. Don't you put names on seats?
We can put names on seats. But really, at this point, we need about $50,000 to get it up to their code, or a structural engineer needs to swoop in and give us another plan B, and we'll figure out what that cost is going to be. And hopefully, you know, with the way the economy turned last year, you know, things in my life tend to happen for a reason. So I'm thinking, well, maybe that would have tanked anyway. That's the only way I can justify it, really. And so hopefully now that the economy is going to turn a corner, hopefully we will get, you know, the funding that we need so that we can have that space. Our main goal is to eventually have a whole theater complex there. Mm-hmm. We've greatly expanded our youth programming. You know, when I got there, they did one summer youth camp. Mm-hmm. Now we do 2 huge summer youth camps, 3 weeks each, 38 kids each. We do a winter conservatory where the kids do a classic piece for middle and high schoolers. Our summer camp is 8 to 18. The winter youth camp, the first year we did Midsummer Night's Dream, which was great. Mm. Last year they tackled Brecht on Brecht, which was phenomenal.
That's pretty sophisticated.
Exactly. And this year, Tom and I are talking about what we're going to do. But we try to do something with different language and a different style of theater for middle to high school kids. Last year, we started an intro to music theater class for 7 to 9-year-olds. So we're greatly expanding our youth programming. And one of the things that we hope to do is to really become a center for the arts, to have the Black Box space, to have a full-time conservatory going. Because there are a lot of adults who say, why can't you teach tap dancing? Why can't you teach acting for adults? Why can't you teach public speaking? And we could if we had the funds in the space. So that's one of the things we need to get the Black Box open for. That'll be a great space for those kind of things.
Definitely.
And so that's where we stand with that.
What's the seating capacity in there?
65.
65, that's a good amount.
Right.
And I love the space you have backstage, so you can actually get away from the audience.
You can actually, exactly. There's a little dressing room back there. Yeah. It will, you know, eventually be a wonderful second space for us. And hopefully, if not this year, then next season.
What was the name of the former director there?
David
Matthews, I should know that, South African singer.
So
he didn't actually do anything with that space, he just acquired it.
He acquired it, and then, that's another long story.
Oh,
last year, what kind of...
Don't know if you want to go into it or not.
Exactly.
Yes, you may.
Yeah, last year sucked for me and the temple. Mr. Matthews, who has been a great friend of the temple, he put a lot of his own money into renovating main theater, as well as our actor housing, which is owned by the James family, and we rent that actor housing from them. But he renovated that as well. Bought the building that is adjacent to the temple that houses our concession area, our rehearsal spaces, costume space, and also the Black Box.
What was it formerly?
It was a couple of different things. It was an
insurance company
or something, and the Sanford Ballroom Dance was in there for a while, and there was a restaurant up there for a while, and which is why all this renovating thing is really interesting.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so he bought the building.
The dancing was above the theater?
The restaurant.
Floor space?
The restaurant was above the theater, which is now a problem to hang costumes and have rehearsals up there.
Sure.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Conspiracy? I don't know.
That's what you get when you cross that Macon County line, girl.
He bought that building, and out of the goodness of his heart, when he left, he was going to give it to the temple, and then that didn't happen, and then he was going to lease it to the temple, And then that didn't happen. And then eventually we had 3 months to buy it.
I never heard all this.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
3 months to buy it or what?
Or it would go on the market. And oh, we would lose our concession area, our rehearsal space, and the black box.
Ouch.
So obviously we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So we bought the building. So now the actual Temple Theater Foundation Board put down the down payment. Since then, because of financial reasons and because of marshalling the troop reasons, the two boards have merged. But now we do, you know, the bank actually owns the building. We are paying the mortgage on that building. But it is our concession area, which is revenue stream. It does house the black box, which will be a future revenue stream.
Yes. Yeah.
And to rent out rehearsal space and a costume shop and all of that, it's very prudent and financially wise to keep the building.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it all happened last year.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, I used to have reddish-brown hair. You can see the gray,
yes,
you know, poking
coming
out,
yeah,
all over the place.
That's what happens. Yeah.
I thought you were just doing a Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's explore another one of your frustrations.
Yes.
Hopefully not
this is like
a long-lasting one.
Do good, I have good, to good. Pay for this? Yes.
Your home in New York that you're trying to sell. Tell us about
my
that.
My beautiful
so anyone
home
listening
in New York is,
who might be interested.
Is still for sale, which I cannot believe.
Explain what it is, where it is, and
on
how
the
it
Hudson
is.
River.
It is on the Hudson River in Riverdale, which is the fancy way of saying the beautiful section of the Bronx. It literally is, there's the northern tip of Manhattan, there's the Hudson River, and then there's my building. It's a beautiful studio. It's 600 square feet with a 300 square foot terrace, outdoor space, which
delightful.
No one has, which overlooks the Hudson and Inwood Park. And the price has been drastically reduced because I've lived in North Carolina now for almost 3 years to only $145,000.
Which is unheard of as
which
a
is
New
unheard
York
of.
Rate.
No,
yeah.
It's
literally,
can't believe that's not been snapped
it's
up
about
by somebody.
$80,000 less
yeah.
than what it should be.
Wow.
Well, the market up there has been affected, as the markets
yeah.
everywhere have been
yeah.
affected. Mm-hmm. And it's really only, I mean, honestly, it's my favorite place that I lived in New York, and I lived there for 21 years, because the transportation options are so easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can get to Midtown on Metro North train for $4 for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You can also take the subway. The number one train runs up there.
Right.
They have express buses from there. And it was all because my life, being a single woman, and traveling home, you know, at midnight after shows.
And
I
you
wanted
were working
to be safe,
Broadway at the
and
time.
I was working Broadway at the time. It's my favorite place to live because it was very safe, very convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but these days the market has been affected and people can buy a two-bedroom, you know, not on the river, certainly not with my views, but
well.
Kind of in the same price range as where my place started.
Mm.
And now that I'm just basically giving it away, there's really nothing on the market that compares to it. But it's going to have to be, Jean-Paul and I were talking, a single person or a couple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really enough space unless you have an infant.
But again, that price to be anywhere near New York City is unheard of.
Right. And, you know, again, honestly, people these days want, you know, a turnkey, walk in, you're done. And you could certainly renovate the kitchen and the bathroom. That could used, you know, I have the blue toilet and the blue tub, which I found charming.
But
someone may
idea.
Not like
yeah.
that.
Blue is my
like
favorite
blue.
Color.
Exactly. I liked it.
I
but
like
the realtor's
blue.
Like, if you put, you know, $20,000 into the bathroom, well, if I could put $20,000 into the bathroom, I wouldn't have to sell the place.
And Peggy pulled up in a blue Mustang
and
just
I
to show you
up.
How far that
yes,
blue goes.
That
exactly.
blue really goes in ways, yes.
But it is for sale. And
blue and purple.
You can contact.
I like them both, too.
I'm
that's right.
very fond of those.
Contact me
right?
at the Temple
okay.
Theater if you're interested in buying my lovely
yes,
place.
Yes, give us that number.
The number there is 919-774-4512, and my extension is 223.
There we go. You have it.
From and you'll get a free
from the year, horse's mouth, although I wouldn't call Peggy.
Get a free
a horse.
Season pass to the Temple Theater. No, maybe not.
But upon
maybe
closing,
not.
I'll throw one in. Heck, I'll pay for it myself.
And once again, folks, this is WCOM 103.5 FM here in the studio at Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else with Jean-Paul McClellan, my co-host, and we have the wonderful, the sexy Peggy Taphorn with us,
well,
telling us
you.
About Temple Theater and all things going on in her life. Speaking of which, I want to go to a very interesting story you told us beforehand about this recent trip you took to Washington, D.C., and then you caught a $1 bus. Give us
yes.
that story.
Oh, yeah, that's unbelievable.
A friend of mine, Craig Ryan, who came last year and directed Moonlight Magnolias, but Craig and I have known each other for 20-odd years these days.
The things that make us feel older.
I know.
When you reflect on how long
but
you've known someone.
Good. Exactly.
Yes.
And our friendship is still good. So he also is the person who directed and produced my one-woman show in New York and all across the United States about Betty Hutton.
Wonderful.
So he had talked about his brother used to live in D.C., and he would take the bus to and from D.C. to New York. and it cost $1. And I was like, yeah, right. But, you know, Craig is one of the cheapest people I know, although one of the most generous of spirit. And so I wanted to plan. I needed to go up to New York and take care of A, some business, and B, see some friends. I hadn't been back to New York in almost 2 years, which is hard to believe. Mm-hmm. And so Trish Hamilton, a friend of mine, said, well, her husband lives up in D.C. And she said, why don't we drive to D.C. and we'll catch that bus Craig was talking about. And so Trish's husband actually went online and looked it up. It's called the Mega Bus. And if you book it far enough in advance, it's $1.
To get you from D.C. into the city.
From D.C. into New York City.
Never heard of any such thing.
It was clean. It was beautiful. They run, you know, all throughout the day and night. And you pick them up very close to the Metro Center in D.C., and it drops you off very close to Penn Station in New York.
What kind of seating capacity does this thing have?
It's a big double-decker bus. We actually had what I call the Disney seats. We were up on the top level, which is surrounded by glass, and sitting in the front seat. So we had, you know, a bird's eye view of the trip.
Wow.
It took less than 5 hours. You know, of course, there's a restroom there.
Yes.
And then the bottom floor of the bus, there were like four-seater little table seating.
Oh, man.
So people had brought lunches and, you know, were kicking back. And
that is fabulous.
It was really fun. We made a lot of friends on the bus. And
there is definitely something wrong with this picture when we can afford something like this in this strange economy.
Well, I think it's because I think it's frequency, and you know, the highest ticket price, I think, if you just walk up and buy your ticket, I think it's $24. But you know,
and I would
bus
consider
packed,
even that a bargain.
Me too. The
but
bus is packed, coming and going.
You probably can't get tickets walking up very easily.
I think
right?
It depends. Our bus on the way there wasn't completely packed. On the way back from New York, it certainly was. Yeah. You know, SRO. But I think it depends. You know, we left it. We were on the 8:30 in the morning bus, which means you get into New York, you know, by 1 o'clock or something. It was great.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You said close to Grand Central Station, which is a good location in the city.
Right. Actually, Penn Station is on the west
Penn
side,
Station,
which is,
right,
for me is even better because that's where all my friends are. So go check out Megabus on the internet, D.C. to New York. They also go, I believe, we were looking at the schedule, to Toronto from D.C. to Niagara Falls to Atlantic City. And all of this is, you know.
These are all $1 ranges.
If you get it in enough time, yeah.
I've definitely got to look into this.
From D.C. to where?
Niagara Falls.
No.
Good Lord.
Yes.
Well, I guess if you consider the direction, it's a pretty similar run.
Yeah, but it's
in each
way
direction.
Up north.
Still,
it's the north part of the state. It's on the border.
Right.
Holy mackerel.
You can have a little choo-choo honeymoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What a guess.
Yes, you've got the love, but not the cash.
Yeah. You
jump on the Mega
Bus. Don't worry.
Go to Niagara Falls.
there's a jingle in there somewhere. Yes.
Sounds like a country song.
Somehow,
got married on the Megabus.
Hey, you know.
And it wasn't in Vegas.
Exactly.
That's the kind of thing that could start happening.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a depression.
I like those rates. Wow. Yeah. That's
and it really was. It was clean. It was fun. And
of course, it cost you $4 to get back from New York.
Right,
back
because
to
we came back
DC.
On a Saturday.
Oh,
and
I
it was
see.
More crowded.
Weekend
and it was a weekend.
Well, that's outrageous.
$4.
I can't.
So it was $5 round trip.
Yeah.
Well, and unlike, you know, I we were talking before that, you know, I love traveling and I spent a lot of my adult life traveling, you know, flying every week from city to city.
Mm-hmm.
But now plane travel has just become such a hassle with the weighing in and you can't carry a bag on your shoulder.
And you can't have shampoo.
You can't have your shampoo
or
your toothpaste.
And you're assumed to be a terrorist before you even get anywhere.
Take your shoes off. I mean, on the bus, you're allowed one suitcase, which they stow underneath.
You can't bring your flask of sipping rum.
Exactly.
I insist on keeping matches in my shoes.
You can kind of take whatever you need to take. You can have a suitcase and a carry-on, and people brought food as well. And so I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sounds good to me.
It takes almost 5 hours on the plane anyway, so
exactly.
Why not just
take
the bus?
Exactly, you have to check in early, and this way, it's, you know, you kick your shoes off and make friends with your neighbor and learn about some interesting, again, communities.
Yeah, and you're not kicking your shoes off for them to inspect at the
right.
security spot.
Right.
Yeah.
Why are there matches between your toes?
So it was fun. I saw some great friends. I saw some great theater in New York. We were talking about that, too. They have a thing, and, you know, the bad part about doing theater and being in theater is that you can't afford to go see your friends in theater.
Yes, indeed.
Because either of the time you're running.
Because none
exactly
of us are rich, for
time.
One thing.
Right, or you don't have the funds. I mean, there are theater seats now in New York that are $500.
Good Lord.
Yeah, wow.
A ticket. One
goes
seat.
To,
you can see our big ploy at the Temple this year. We're only doing 6 shows instead of 8 because of budget reasons. But I actually kind of like it because our big ticket sales, you can see 6 shows at the Temple Theater for $96.
Wow.
You can see all 6 professionally done, you know, full production value shows for $96.
Even with Peggy in one or two.
Even with Peggy in one or two. Or
they should charge extra for that.
They should a little.
Yeah,
really, I think Peggy will be passing a hat.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. Or you can see four of the shows for $64. And the great thing about the temple seats is that it's a flex pass. So if you want to all, you know, bring six people to come and see Bingo, do that. You want to bring your family to come and see a mm-hmm. Christmas Carol, do that. You can use all six tickets for one show. You can use a ticket, one for each show. You can use two and two and two.
$16 a show.
That's right.
Nice.
Can't beat it.
Not bad.
But we did the lottery up in New York, which is where you have to get to the theater. A lot of the shows do a student rush.
This is going back to your trip to
going
New
back
York
to our
from
trip
D.C.
To New York. Here we go. Exactly. And you wait in line, you know, out on the streets of New York for a couple hours, and then you put your name in a hat, and it's a lottery. They pull your name out, and then you can buy, you know, two tickets for the show per name that they call out. So Trish and I actually saw five shows. Two of those we got to see for free because of my friends in them. But we saw five shows in New York for probably less than $150.
Tell us what those shows are.
We saw Hair, which I loved.
Which just came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We saw In the Heights, which is a new sort of Latin hip-hop-based musical, which I also loved, based on the neighborhood I used to live in, in the hood. And we saw the new Cirque du Soleil show.
Which I really want to see that one.
Which was great. We saw 9 to 5, and then we saw the play that I can't remember the name of. Is it called The Dining Room? That's not what it's called.
I know there is a play by that name, but I'm not sure.
I don't think that's what it's called. But it was also wonderful. And we either got standing room, because once you go through the lottery line, if your name doesn't get called, the times that we were there were able to purchase standing room tickets, which were between $20 and $30. So we stood for Hair, which was great because people were dancing in the aisles anyway.
Yeah, that's a three-hour show, isn't it?
It didn't seem like it. No, I don't think it was three hours.
The newer version. 2.5 hours or something.
Right.
Like that,
the new version, I think, is shorter. Yeah.
And then we stood for the play, which was only about an hour and a half. There was no intermission there, so that was great.
That's good.
And then for In the Heights, we actually won the lottery and sat in the front row. Literally, the conductor's head was poking out of the conductor's hole right in front of me.
Whoa.
And I had friends in that, and my friend Alicia was going across as the ice cream salesman. He's singing, you know, his icy song, Come Buy My Icies, and he looked down, he's like, Peggy Taphorn. He literally said that in the middle of the show. Yeah, and at the curtain call, I had four people in the back line going, Peggy Taphorn's in the house. Yeah.
You just shrunk down to your heels.
I know, I loved it. It was great.
Really.
It was fun. It was fun to see my old friends, and fun to be able to say that the Temple Theater is still, you know, surviving and thriving, because not only did the people of the, you know, Lee County and beyond community rally, I had so many friends like Hoagie who wrote all that virtual orchestration for free. I had friends sending in donations, again, not of $50,000, of $20. You know, I know that you moved down there because you believed in it, and I'm sorry to hear you're struggling. You know, I'm on a Broadway salary. Here's $20. You know, pay it forward if you can. So it's our way of paying it forward to expand these youth programming, to try to keep doing community-based things as well as get our second space open so we can offer even more to the community, and hopefully we will continue.
Well, next time Hoagie comes by, boy, get that out. Bring him on the radio.
I will. He's a great guy.
Yeah, with apologies to Hoagie Carmichael.
Yeah. Well, there needs to be another Hoagie. Hoagie Carmichael,
yeah,
you know, wrote some great songs, but,
oh, man.
You know.
Oh, God.
It's time to acknowledge the living.
That's right. Indeed. And the kind,
well, then
and the generous.
He comes in, then he's got to bring his computer rig with him.
He brings it all.
Or something.
And
he
drives, that ain't cheap.
He drives from New York.
And he brings all that down and does all that work. That's
right.
Fabulous.
Yep, he's a great human.
I can just imagine all those evenings and afternoons where he just sort of did this as a hobby and kept on building this incredible music.
That's right.
Wow.
And, you know, like the rest of us, he wishes that he could make his living doing that instead of having to be, you know, the office boy assistant at a law firm. But, you know, right now, through his generosity, the Temple Theater is still alive. And so at some point, if ever, that we can give back and start paying him royalties and start paying him what he should be making to do all this, then I hope it'll come around. And any time that I can promote him and his art and his music and his great talent, I certainly will. So,
indeed.
Well, at least one thing we know, as questionable as the whole Obama administration has become in my eyes, we do know that he supports the arts.
That's right. And,
so that's at least a plus.
Exactly. And we're hoping that, you know, last year we all were hit by the double whammy. You know, as a nonprofit, you stand on... What?
I'll just
No, we have a call in. We're going to see what this is all about.
It's all right.
Probably a wrong number.
Gino's Pizza.
Yeah, they hung up. Yeah, right. Thanks for playing.
As soon as they heard me, they hung up.
But he doesn't have an accent. Click.
Yep. But, well, you know, as a nonprofit, we stand on donations, ticket sales, and grants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last year, not only were the ticket sales and the donations off, but our grants were all cut.
Yes, I
pretty much
were
across
cut.
The board.
Yeah.
And so,
which is the reason you couldn't help me co-host the situation in Broadway, Broadway Day.
That's
which
right.
Went really well, by the way, and I hope to get you out there next year. I've told them you're coming. So,
oh, good, good. I hope to as well because good. There were, you know,
we had standing room only. It was a wonderful event.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good. Congratulations to Broadway.
Indeed.
But you know, so
and I was the lone MC because Peggy wouldn't join
I
me.
I couldn't do it. I know it's nuts.
Yes.
Hopefully, those days are behind us. Like I said, last year was not a good one. But we did learn, and through adversity, we always learn. And
indeed.
I learned that, you know, you tighten your belt enough and keep pressing forward and be, you know, hopefully optimistic.
Yeah. I saw a great saying once, reflecting on what you said earlier about the Englishman. There was one, I think, Henry David Thoreau wrote that I had on my wall in, when I lived in the islands on my little cottage wall. And it says, there's this big picture of a ship in the harbor. And it says, a ship in the harbor is safe, but that is not what ships are built for.
That's right.
Hey.
So that's life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And really, I know it's silly, but doing 101 Dalmatians, to see these 38 kids just transformed. You know,
no doubt.
And some of them are like what I call the, you know, the land of misfit toys.
These so you've had to do doggy training.
Yes.
How to look like a little doggy.
Uh-huh.
Lift but your leg and go over that corner.
Exactly. Kids are very, as we know, malleable.
Oh, God, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
And creative and just crazy.
And if they're having a good time, it just radiates.
Yeah, my little grandchildren are always playing doggy. They make their grandma take them around on leashes all around them and train each other. You
exactly,
know,
just, yeah. But, you know, we learn from them as much as they learn from us. But,
absolutely.
But just to see them and to talk to parents, a lot of these kids have never done anything like this before, but it's reasonable, and we do offer scholarships because we're lucky to get a little corporate funding for that. That's what makes it all worthwhile. And to be able to see, you know, these kids really blossom. There was a kid in the last camp who has Asperger's, and...
And this is not a syndrome. It is.
It's okay. a form of autism.
Oh, Lord.
In my understanding, I'm not an expert on it by any means, but he's a teenager, mm-hmm. and he never fit in anywhere, but he's great, very high-functioning. You know, he's just different.
Mm-hmm, no
you know, but once he gets something, he's meticulous about it, doing
highly
the same
intelligent
way.
On certain levels.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he played a boxer in the show, and he came out and was hysterically funny. I mean, he threw himself into that part 180%.
Incredible.
And his mom sat in the, because I usually sit in the balcony after I do my little curtain speech, and cried every day. She's like, this is the first time he's been accepted by peers. This is the first time that he's ever done anything like this, and it's changed his life. And I had another parent who came and said that her son, I'm going to get teary talking about it.
That's okay.
Had been kicked out of three different schools and ended up at the Bragg Street Academy and just couldn't fit in as a teenager and fought and did drugs and came and saw Hamlet because we had a sponsor, Van Gross, last year who gave money to the Bragg Street Academy for their kids to come and see Hamlet. He came and saw Hamlet and fell in love with Shakespeare.
Oh.
And he then started reading because he wanted to understand what Shakespeare was about after seeing Hamlet.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked to a teacher there, and the teacher ended up doing two different Shakespearean shows, reading them in class and doing scenes aloud. And this kid, for the first time ever, finished an entire year of school without getting kicked out.
Oh, my goodness.
His junior year, and was excited to go back for his senior year, and said he now wants to be an English teacher. And that's because he came and saw Hamlet at the Temple Theater last year. So the fact that we can do that makes it, you know, makes our black box closing and all that other jolly stuff kind of worth it, because that's why we're here.
Well, I have to say the one thing I appreciate about you is how you've just sort of grabbed the bull by the horns and turned whatever happened into a mission to just approach this from a different angle and find a way to make it work.
Exactly. Well, I tell people that my puppy that came to me, she was a street dog and She came to me when she was about 6 weeks old, and now she's on the cover of Lee County Living.
Yes. The one my dog can't leave alone, yes.
Exactly. And,
that's quite
I say
a cute dog.
She's adorable.
A very cute dog.
But she's not the only one in the family who's half pit bull, so.
yes.
She's the nice one, actually.
She had to get that plug in, didn't she?
She's the one that's easy to get along
that's
with.
That's right. She loves everybody. But it's funny because she grew up in the theater, so she loves kids. She loves being on stage. She loves running up and down the aisles of the theater and everywhere she is. She just loves. But she looks like a boxer pit bull mix, which is, we think, what she is. I don't know. She could be anything. And walking down the street, you know, people are like, whoa. And then, you know, I said the dangerous end is in the back because her tail will bruise your leg. But, you know, so far, except for jumping up on people and knocking them over, which we're trying to stop now. Mm-hmm. She's a teenager. She's lovable. So.
Well, we have like about 10 minutes left, but should we... go back over what's happening at the Temple Theater coming up.
Listen,
second.
I just want to say very quickly that a friend of mine, a producer, director of Firehorse Films, John Paul Dame, just walked in and he's sitting in the silent corner. But he's actually going to be on with us next week, actually speaking, communicating, going back and forth, maybe even
wonderful.
Doing some comedy.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent.
We'll
some comedy, really.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Great.
He's the one that I'm in communication with about the ABC TV talk thing I can't talk about. That's it.
Oh, yes.
So, there we go.
Is there a song you can hum to give a little clue, like we did for
don't
the...
Don't quite have it established yet, no. But we're working on it.
Right.
Anyway, so yes, give us a complete rundown.
Yes, and, complete
as
rundown.
Well as... Be quiet, I'm speaking.
Oh, sorry. As, well,
as well as all the links and connections we need to the, you know, websites to and so on to go to Temple.
Absolutely. This Friday,
we're
opening
thing.
A 101 Dalmatians, which is our second youth conservatory, 38 kids in it, with the Dog Days of Summer, which is also a benefit for CARA, which is the local animal rescue operation in Stanford, and the Art Studio. And tickets for the whole evening, which is at the Art Studio Gallery. There's going to be wine and cheese up there, as well as paintings and door prizes. And then the CARA will have rescue dogs available for adoption at the Temple Theater and at the Art Studio. And 101 Dalmatians, you get all of that for $25. Or you can just come and see 101 Dalmatians this weekend. Friday shows at 7 o'clock. Saturday the shows are at 2 and 7. And Sunday the show is at 2 p.m. Tickets are $10 for adults or $5 for children, so bring the whole family. Then we open our main stage season with Bingo, the musical. That's September 3rd through September 20th, followed by Stones in His Pockets, the Irish comedy, October 15th through November 1st.
Sounds rather painful.
I know.
Yeah.
Then we have A Christmas Carol, our new version, written especially for the Temple Theater, a world premiere, a musical version. That's November 27th, the day after Thanksgiving, through December 20th. Then we're bringing in Tim Tyson's Blood Done Sign My Name, starring Mike Wiley, for Black History Month. That's January 29th through February 7th. Then Jason Petty's coming back to do the music of Marty Robbins with Marty's El Paso, March 11th through the 28th. And we're ending up with the season Rodgers and Hammerstein classic.
Yet unnamed.
Everybody hum at home. That's April 29th through May 16th. And you can go to templeshows.com or call the Temple Theater box office, which is area code 919-774-4155. That's 919-774-4155.
Ooh, I like the way you sing that.
Or templeshows.com. We just launched our new and improved website, so check out that website.
I'm looking at it right now, and it's a very nice
What do you think, Jean-Paul?
It's very good, very good.
I think it's easy to maneuver.
Nice layout, good cover.
We've got the streaming flash photo thing happening
right.
now.
Point it more toward the
current season
so
box office. Let me put the microphone over here so people can see it. it's got a lot of good stuff on it. So
that's
how
right.
how did your teen open auditions go?
Great. We actually had, unfortunately, we had to have some of the kids who didn't make the Temple Teens this year, which is, I guess, the way it should be. Mm. So we have, as of now, 11 area Utes.
So it's real competitive. Huh?
It's real competitive. We had about 25 kids show up, and we chose 11. And they will, our first performance is the end of this month, believe it or not. And we're doing a senior expo in Sanford. And then we're going to do the Lee County Fair in September, as well as a show at the Enrichment Center. The Temple Teens are available to anyone in the community free of charge. We do take donations, however, to pay for gas and T-shirts and sound equipment and all that good stuff. But they put on a half-hour show. They're great. It's great for the kids. We do a little snippet from each of the shows of the season.
Wonderful.
And it's a chance for them to be the best Temple Theater ambassadors ever, but also watching these kids grow from when I started the troupe, when I got here 3 years ago, to now. You know, I have seniors in high school who are now talking about, you know, moving into theater or moving into teaching or, and
well,
it's
and
really,
also,
really cool.
You, that's got to be a great way to build long-term audience support.
That's right. Really? And what I tell people, yeah, that the thing about the youth conservatories is, even though, you know, 98% of these kids will never grow up to be in theater, they will certainly grow up with the knowledge of theater. And,
right.
You know,
and a degree of cultural appreciation.
It enriches their lives in lots of ways.
In public speaking, in, you know, self-fulfillment, and, you know, learning to be dedicated and a self-starter and all that good stuff, as well as to be a good audience member.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the kids who come through the Temple Theater for our student matinee program have never been in a theater before. They think they're coming to a movie. When we were doing Hamlet last year, all the kids were like, "Where's the theater? Where's this? This is the theater.
Children?
Where's the screen? There is
sit
no
down.
Screen." Exactly. But to get them involved and to get them to know that there is something out there that doesn't involve a screen, that you actually have to participate in, mm-hmm. is a pretty cool thing for a kid.
I think so.
And, in fact, our student matinees are often our best audiences. You know, people were worried about, for example, the Bragg Street, the bad kids,
mm-hmm.
who are not bad kids by any means, coming to see the shows, and they are our best audience because they get so involved. And
they just need some place to put their energy.
That's right, and that's what all the kids do. And we always do a talk back after the student matinees, and they come up with the greatest questions, and they're really paying attention. So it's one of the most exciting parts of what I do is working with the kids and doing the student matinees, as well as, like you said, being the chief cook and bottle washer and everything else that needs
absolutely
to be done.
Absolutely, yes.
But I hope that people come out to support the kids this weekend for 101 Dalmatians, and especially our benefit that we're doing for Kara, the Dog Days of Summer, at the Art Studio. The Art Studio is located at 102 South Steel Street,
which is pretty close to the 302. Theater,
it's catty corner to the theater, and there's an art reception to benefit the Temple Theater and Carolina Animal Rescue and Adoption, featuring the artists Lisa Mathis and Yvonne Sovereign, and that's this Friday, August 7th, from 5 to 7 p.m. Tickets for that whole event are $25, and you can get them through the Temple Theater. Once again, the box office number is 919-774-4155, or you can always go to templeshows.com.
And on that note, I think we're going to bring the speakeasy to a wrap. This was,
We got to stretch it out a little
John
bit.
John Paul has given me the sign to continue on.
Yeah,
so
we need to stretch it a bit.
We apparently have more film footage than we thought.
Well, it's 4 minutes till, and the Evergreen show we have playing is still on.
Oh, well, we don't have to worry about the exit thing.
We do, because if we go out now, it'll be playing the end of the show.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
From the one
so you're not just going to come on and do your blah blah for your show.
Well, I'm supposed to do that at 11 o'clock.
I see. All right. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll play it right then.
In case anybody didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. You know, the John Paul Truth Quest and Variety Hour is coming on next.
Next. Well, I do want to acknowledge my sponsors one more time, or my underwriters, the Carolina Theatre of Durham, the Historic Carolina Theatre, being the key underwriter at this point, as well as Studio in the Woods, Inc., with John Demers, the independent film scene, with whom I'm also going to be working on a film project coming up, and I will reveal more of that as I discover more of that. When the reality hits me, I'll hit you with it.
Excellent.
This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, with Peggy Taphorn as our guest today of the Temple Theatre, director, actress, dancer, and whatever it takes to avoid looking for a job like me, and John Paul McClellan, musician, composer, my co-host, who also has his own show coming right up after this. So I guess we'll just continue on a little more. Is there anything more you wanted to add?
Sure. I want to say that season tickets, as I mentioned a little earlier, are on sale now. This is our big season ticket time, and we are about $20,000 off the mark from where we were last year. We are selling the six shows for $96, which is an amazing bargain.
It is.
You can get four for $64, and you can see all the shows, starting with Bingo through that Rodgers and Hammerstein classic musical. And it is a flex pass, so you can use all six tickets for one show or one ticket per show. And again, the box office number is right at the tip of my tongue, 919-774-4155. And we only sell our season tickets through September 20th, so now's the time. We also have sponsorships available if you want to be a show sponsor. There's a huge benefit package involved with that. We have ranging from the $1,000 level to the $10,000 level, and you get free tickets. You get to, you know, a pre- and post-show party.
Is that the one where you get the nude pictures?
If that's what it takes.
You heard it from Peggy. If that's what it takes.
Sure, we'd find someone, suppose.
The nude pictures are of me.
Wait a minute. The torch just got handed away.
Yeah, the nude pictures are of me, so I don't know. It's not likely to get much.
I'm leaving now.
Not get much response from that, I don't think.
Well,
and there is still the option, the possibility of somebody coming up with a little money and putting their name on the Black Box Theater.
That's right. It really is something that we were hoping to get open last season, and I talked about the debacle there. And this year, as we all know, it's not quite the time.
We have to first burn down the fire brigade. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, again, I'm not going to take it personally because I can't live my life like that. So we'll just say that there's got to be another way.
There is another way.
There's always
another
way.
It will come.
That's right.
Yes.
But naming opportunities are available.
There's got to be a little more information about the exact structural stuff that has to be done. Maybe somebody out there.
That's right. I need an arts-friendly structural engineer.
Structural engineer, yes.
Because once I get a plan that's stamped by a structural engineer, there's really no fighting it.
That's right.
So anybody that's in that business, saying, visit Peggy at the theater. She's cute.
You may have a structural engineer come out there and say, well, there's nothing wrong with this.
Exactly. And then we can open. Yeah. Yay!
Yeah. Yes.
And we can have Claudio on, and he won't have to, you know.
Well, just don't let him stand on the floor above the...
I was going to say...
You won't have to what?
I was going to say, eat one of those new chickens, but that would...
Oh, that's... She found out about the four chickens and the hen that I just got, yes.
Hey, did you bring any eggs today?
I don't have any yet. I don't think they're laying for me for some reason.
Well, they will be.
I have no idea how long it takes for them to adjust to new geography.
I've never had
And I haven't stepped on one yet.
Well,
so,
you can be sure that we have not laid an egg here today with Peggy Taphorn on the show. And it's been so much fun.
I think we'll just call this show Segways.
This is the segue out.
Yes.
So.
He's letting me go.
Yes,
wonderful.
We're letting it go now.
Well, folks, this is Claudio Speakeasy with Peggy Taphorn, who's our guest today.
Thank you so much. And always a pleasure.
John Paul, the co-host, as usual. And, of course, we have another John Paul Dame here in the studio sitting silently by. He's doing Marcel Marceau this week, but he'll actually be talking next week. So,
hey.
This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. Yours truly, signing off. Until next time. Cheers.